I also greet you this morning in the name of Jesus. Certainly a blessing to be here with you this morning. Felt so good to wake up this morning and find myself at home in my own bed. A blessing to be home again. I would like to thank the church here for your prayer support and the gifts of food and things that were given, many things you've done on our behalf in our absence. May God bless you for that. We feel unworthy of that. May you receive the blessing of God for your helpfulness. As we also do feel it, that with Hannah, felt it keenly of leaving and her staying behind. But we were really looking forward to coming back. And as I was thinking of the 10 or 11 days that we were there, you know, I had it on my mind of buying plane tickets for coming back, and knowing that the closer the time of departure, the closer to that time that you buy the tickets, usually the higher they are. And I was, you know, quite concerned about that, and I kept looking, and we kept trying to get word from the doctor as to, you know, when we could come. And when we got our final release on Friday and okayed it with Hannah, it was such a blessing. Just, you know, like, you know, all that worry was just needless. I went on Orbitz, and here there were these two tickets. It said, act fast, only two tickets left. And, you know, I went to work and put in all the information and bought the tickets, and just God just put it all together. We had planes were on time. We were treated like royalty with my wife's condition, with wheelchairs and support that was given for her. And, it was good to know that, you know, God does really care about the small details, and we don't need to worry. I'd like to invite you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1. The message here that I feel that God would have me to share this morning. It says here in Hebrews 6, 1, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. I titled the message this morning, Perfection. Out of the phrase there, let us go on unto perfection. As we look at the previous chapter, you know, it's talking about there the uneducatedness, or I can't get the word, but in other words, they were like babies in Christ, is what he was saying here. And, you know, that they had already been taught for quite some time about the principles of God, about the Word of God and who Jesus is. And, you know, he's saying that it's a time when they should be teachers, but they're still like young children in Christ. And he said that because of that, that we should go on and leave the principles of the doctrine of Christ and go on into perfection. In other words, to grow and to come to full age, I think to maturity, to full maturity is what he is saying. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. We look at that word perfection. What is perfection? The dictionary says that it's a state of being perfect or complete, so that nothing is required or nothing that is required is wanting. But in other words, you have everything that you need. That is what he is saying perfection is. In Genesis, God talked to Abraham and he said, walk before me and be thou perfect. That's a tall order, isn't it? You know, when you look at God, a holy God, a perfect God, and he looks down at you, his child, and he says, walk before me and be perfect. And especially when we look at Abraham in the time before Jesus Christ, in the time before this new covenant. The Bible says that Noah and Job were perfect. Nothing wanting, if we look at the definition of that word. And then there's several kings in the Bible that the Bible says that the kings were, that their heart was not perfect toward the Lord. The heart was not perfect with God. Another king, Amaziah, it says that he did that which was right in the sight of God, but he didn't have a perfect heart. And we could liken that to what Nevin was saying this morning about that nut. The outside was perfect. And I don't know, Simon could probably identify with that. I think it was last year, you had a lot of pecans that you cracked. They looked good on the outside, but the inside was just, it was no good. So maybe that's a little bit like Amaziah was. He had the outside right, but the inside was like a shriveled up black pecan, and it was worthless. It was no good. The Bible says in Matthew, the words of Jesus, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." So how can we be perfect with all of our fault and all our sin? We're just human. Paul says that when I am weak, then am I strong. And I think that maybe is the first step. Maybe the first step would be repentance. But to, as a Christian, to realize, you know, having been born again and having been perfected, having been justified, but to go on into perfection, to grow in Christ, I think one of the first steps would be to realize how weak we are and to realize our need. In Hebrews 7, verses 11 and 12, Paul says that if perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity also a change of the law. So we see here that perfection that God is calling us to today, the Bible is so clear, is not in the old law. That perfection is not in having the outside perfect, but it begins from the inside out. You know, you can have lots of pecans that look perfect on the outside, but many of them may not be perfect on the inside. But I don't think you will ever find a pecan that is imperfect on the outside, as in, you know, the shell being destroyed as it grew on the tree, that'll have a perfect meat on the inside. So it begins from the inside out. Let's read here in Hebrews 6, the second verse. He says, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which ye have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Now here it is talking about the earth drinking in rain that often falls upon it. And you know, when it rains here in West Tennessee during the, you know, the spring and summer months, we expect that the ground is going to produce, it's going to bring forth fruit. And a lot of that, you know, is almost perfect. And, you know, in the same token, we as Christians in the new covenant that we're in, you know, it is not in the old law, but we are in the new covenant. We are under the Spirit where God says that I will put my laws into their hearts. I will write them in their minds. And we are under that new covenant where we are often receiving the rain, the blessing, the showers of the blessing of the Spirit of God speaking to our hearts. And, you know, there is absolutely no reason for us to not go on unto perfection. You know, although we realize that in our weakness, that in the sense of being completely perfect, we will not reach that perfection in this life. You know, but as we strive for perfection, as one company's motto is, if we strive for perfection, we will reach excellence. And, you know, I believe that is good for us as Christians, that we strive for perfection. And, you know, as we look at our righteous, holy God, and when he asks us to walk before him and be perfect, you know, as Christians, as having been justified, freed from all blame and guilt through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, as God does his work of regeneration in our hearts, you know, I believe that when God sees us, he sees Jesus Christ, and he sees us as perfect creatures, sanctified children in Jesus Christ, or maybe I should say justified children, because sanctification is a growing process. And I think that is what this is talking about, of going on into perfection. But as God sees us, he sees not the sinner that we are, but he sees the blood of Jesus Christ, and he sees the finished work on the cross of what Jesus did on behalf of me for my sin. You know, without that, I would be hopeless. I would have no chance. And we had a little bit about that in Sunday school this morning about truth and mercy. You know, if only the truth would be there. The truth is, I'm a sinner, and I am condemned to hell. But mercy says, have compassion, and have love, and forgive. And God, in his mercy, sees that in spite of the truth that I am a sinner. So, you know, as it is only through Jesus Christ that we can have perfection. But as we receive these spiritual showers of blessing, and we receive that, and then we bring thorns and briars, it says that's going to be rejected. So, you know, when we as Christians try to live a life that is pleasing to God, or we try to earn our salvation by works instead of having faith in Jesus Christ and in the finished work on the cross, you know, that is thorns and briars. Those are things that are going to be rejected. Or you could take a person that is not born again, a person who has rejected Jesus Christ, and a person who is just taking his own way in spite of the new covenant, in spite of the Spirit of God speaking to him and drawing him, he goes on his own way and he brings forth thorns and briars. And, you know, as we think about being transformed, as we heard this morning, you know, that is God's will that we are transformed from the old life, the old man, into the new man and the new life. And, you know, when that doesn't happen, maybe there is a transformation in an evil way where, you know, maybe there's such a thing as a perfection of evil where you become more and more perfectly evil. Well, that is the carnal man with Satan taking control. You know, so we are either being transformed in one way or the other. We are being changed on a daily basis, I believe. Either we're being sanctified and we're going on into perfection in Jesus Christ, or we're being, you know, becoming more and more filthy and becoming more and more in the evil. But God desires that we have diligence, you know, that we have that assurance of hope, that we grow on and we go on and we grow. You know, Jesus told the rich young ruler when he came to him and he asked him, you know, what shall I do? What good thing can I do that I can inherit the kingdom of God? Jesus told him to then go, he said, after he told him, after the ruler told Jesus that he had kept all those commandments, Jesus told him that if you will be perfect, go and sell everything you have and give to the poor and come and follow me. Well, and I like to think that if that young ruler could have done like Amaziah did, he could have gone and done that without having a perfect heart. and it would not have benefited him anything. You know, as it says there in 1 Corinthians 13, that even if I give my body to be burned and I don't have charity, I don't have love, it doesn't profit me a thing. It profits me nothing. So I believe really what Jesus was telling this ruler, if you want to be perfect, you know, you need to be born again. You need to have a love for me, for my kingdom. And, you know, Jesus alone can give us that love. And then if he would have done that because he loved Jesus, and he would have given everything he had and sold it to the poor. Matter of fact, I think Jesus probably would have let him keep what he had if he would have given that up. But it says he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Yeah, the possessions had him. So perfection is not in dead works. It is not in keeping the law. God made that so evident in his scripture, but it is found in the new covenant with God that God made with his children. A new covenant where, as I mentioned earlier, he says, I will put my laws in their minds. I will write them in their hearts. You know, now God in the new covenant is not just saying, walk before me and be thou perfect, but he is saying, abide in me. Abide in my love is what he is saying. In the love of God. Abide in Jesus Christ. Abide in the love of Jesus Christ and bring forth fruit to perfection out of that love, out of a heart that is filled with love. In James chapter 1, I'd like to read that. In verse 1, James 1, it says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So we see here that God, in his goodness, provides everything that we need. You know, and often, I believe it is through trials that we are made more sanctified or more perfect, if you will. I mean, I hesitate to say it that way because, you know, our perfection is in the finished work of the cross in Jesus Christ. And when a person is born again and he is justified, he is completely perfect in the eyes of God. So far as that, I mean, it's not like Jesus only halfway saves a person. It's either he is saved or he is not saved. But, you know, sanctification is a growing process to where we become more sanctified. We become more like Jesus Christ. You know, we have to grow. You know, physically we grow. We become stronger. And, of course, the beauty of it is that in the Christian life, we don't have to decline like we do in the spiritual and the physical, where we become less strong as we grow older. But in the spiritual life, we can become more sanctified and we can become stronger. We can become more like Jesus Christ as we become sanctified. You know, as we look at this, of letting patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You know, I think what this scripture is saying is to be more perfectly broken and more perfectly yielded. You know, there's something within us that rebels against a trial. That old man, you know, it doesn't like trials. It doesn't feel good. But as we learn to trust God and as we learn to grow in Jesus Christ, hopefully that old man can be subdued easier and easier. You know, it takes a yieldedness, a brokenness to let patience have her perfect work. You know, and as I think about the last several weeks and the things that my wife and I have been through, you know, I see where I've failed so often in being broken. You know, I want my will. You know, it's not easy to have patience and to not know what to expect. You know, last weekend, you know, we were hoping for answers. We were hoping for direction. And then there were test results that hadn't come back yet. And we didn't know. And we waited the weekend. It was pretty frustrating for me. And then on Tuesday, you know, we were told that she should be ready for surgery by 10:30. And then they said there's been a delay. And, you know, it should be 11 o'clock. Well, then later they come in and they say it should be 4 o'clock. So we waited and we waited. You know, we were at the hospital like around 8:30 or 9 o'clock that morning. And my wife was not allowed to eat or drink all day, although she was on IV. So we waited in that hospital room, and here 4 o'clock comes, and you know, still nobody coming to take us, you know, take her to surgery. And we waited and waited, and finally at 5 o'clock, you know, they come in. You know, and as I looked at that and analyzed that, I was then later made aware that the reason that it took so long is there was this other man that was in surgery. He had colon cancer, and they did surgery, and there were complications, and that is why it was delayed for us. And as I thought of that, you know, I just need to be thankful. There was another man there with his wife that had the same condition. His wife had the same condition that Fanny had, but in their case, they had let it go. I'm not sure, weren't aware of it or what, but it had turned into cancer. And so surgery is not an option anymore, is what he told me. And they're having to do chemo and radiation. And this is something that they are going to have to fight and deal with for the rest of this woman's life. I mean, there are some older than us, or I think so. I didn't ask him his age. But he said, you know, when I told him of our situation, he said, you can, you know, thank the Lord that it was caught before it was cancerous. So my desire is for each one of us that we can let patience have her perfect work, so that we can go on into perfection. You know, thank God for the trials in our life. Wasn't there something in our Sunday school lesson today about the Father scourging, chastening every son that he receives? I mean, that's in Hebrews 12 as well, but I think that scripture there had something about that. You know, that as a dad chastens the son that he loves, so God chastens his children. And it's for our good. You know, it's not always easy to have patience when we don't know, when we face those trials. But the Bible says in Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. He promises in Hebrews 13, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And he says in Philippians chapter 4, that but my God shall supply all your needs through Jesus Christ according to the riches in his glory by Christ Jesus. In Psalms 37, verse 37, he says, mark the perfect man. You know, and it's not talking about making a mark on him, but it's saying that you should regard him, that you should observe him, and that you should follow him. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. Well, yeah, and I think that can be good, you know, to have role models that we observe and that we mark and that we follow as they follow Christ. But, you know, being careful that our real focus and vision is on Christ. Christ is the perfect man. Christ is the only Savior. And that we observe him and that our focus is on Jesus Christ. You know, we do need the encouragement and the strength of the brotherhood and of our fellow brothers and sisters, fellow Christians. Yes, we need that. But make Jesus Christ your role model. He is your captain, as you move on into perfection, till we all come in the stature of the fullness of Christ unto the perfect man, unto Jesus Christ, in the image of Jesus Christ. In John, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 12, the latter part of the verse, it says, if we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. If we love one another. Jesus said that by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. You know, that is a part of going on unto perfection, is to be able to love the person that you love the least. You know, and sometimes that is, you know, people that have wronged you in very bad and sad ways. Luke 6:40 says, the disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. And in closing, I'd like to look at scripture along with that in 1 John 3, the first three verses. It says in 1 John 3, verse 1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Think about the love that God has bestowed upon us for sending Jesus Christ, that he would call us sinful, wicked people, the sons of God. He would call us children. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. The disciple is not above his master, is what it says here in Luke, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. So Jesus Christ is our master. Now, this scripture is saying that, you know, we don't know, it doesn't yet appear what we're going to be, but we know that when he shall appear, when Jesus Christ comes, it says we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And that will be, you know, the ultimate perfection. You know, there's been discussion lately about, you know, what happens when a person dies. You know, we have Sister Arlene's body that was buried here recently. You know, where is she? Where is her spirit? And, you know, is she in heaven? And there was some discussion one time on the way back from prison service about the verse in Hebrews where it says that they without us should not be made perfect. You know, is it a place of waiting? And then when Jesus comes, when on that day, then we'll all be made together, be made perfect? Is that what that scripture is saying? You know, and it doesn't matter how it's going to be. We know it's going to be the way God has ordained it, regardless of what we believe or what we think. But we know that as Christians, justified, forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ, then we'll have the full perfection at that time. And it says in verse 3 here, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. I mean, I can't purify myself, and you can't purify yourself. It is only through Jesus Christ. It is only by being more perfectly broken, by being more perfectly surrendered to the will of God. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Proverbs 4:18. Let's kneel for prayer.